Okay, so basically, just to catch up, we started Nusa yesterday. So the question is drasa. So in theory, drasa, it's shchita is not. You can't do shchita by chopping. Okay, that's called drasa. Shchita is like slicing. If you take the knife and you just chop down off that, slice off that, or put it on the neck and press down, that's definitely a possible. Okay, that's definitely possible. Rather, it has to be through a cutting motion. Okay. That's one of the psulim of shchita. It's like the limud is, it's like an arrow goes horizontal. It's like a whatever. It's a limud, shechot. I don't know, whatever. That's funny, the limud. It's like funny, whatever. But it's basically, it's like an arrow. An arrow goes horizontal, so the shchita knife has to go horizontal as opposed to going vertically.
So it's not necessarily, a couple things, not necessarily a different.
So we said, the idea halachically is that there's, the question is, what is cutting the simanim? Either way, this is manam arkat, but there's a difference. Is that in when you do drasa, what's cutting the simanim is the your force. Now it's true you could put force with your hand, or you could make a, the knife could be like an extension of your hand that you can make it sharp. So now you forcefully like cut the simanim apart, right? But it's basically with a downward force, which is cutting the simanim, right? But when you do this way, horizontally, what's cutting it is the slicing. It's the knife, really. It's really the knife, which is it's the cutting motion. It's the knife. The sharpness of the knife is really doing the cutting, and you are merely just like guiding the knife. It's not that, see, when you're pushing down, it's like your force which is breaking this. I mean, it's just the knife is like it's like an extension of your hand and making it like a sharp hand. But when you do it with a slicing motion, you're really just allowing you're guiding the knife, which is super sharp, and it's cutting the semen. So this is a different kind of thing. It's like slicing as opposed to chopping. And you see in knives, there are different kinds of knives. There are knives which are like vegetable knives, which are like a chopping motion, and then there's a Muslim knife, which is like really like, in theory, like a good sharp knife, like if you cut meat or something, purely like the slicing of the thing, you know? Like the good knife is a knife that you just kind of go back and forth and it just does the cutting on its own without even having to push down. So shchita is like is a slicing, where the knife is, the sharpness of the knife is cutting this manam, as opposed to where the force of the adam is cutting this manam. The psul of drasa, the halacha of drasa is that that's what shchita is. It's not just that the simen is severed, but it's that that it's severed through the sharpness of the knife, through a slicing, as opposed to through a force, through a downward force, through pressure. It's a different type of a cut. And what is shchita? That's what shchita is. So now the question is how exactly do you measure this? Do you ask the guy, did you push down? Like, how exactly do you determine this? So, clearly, if there's no back and forth motion, right, then it's definitely drasa. That's the first case. If I just either I swing, I chop it, or I just put it on top and I push it. There's no, obviously it's not the sharpness of the knife, because the way the sharpness of the knife works, that's why I'm saying you need the back and forth. That's why I'm thinking it has something to do with the friction or something. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a combination of the friction and the sharpness breaking the bond, something like that. Right? Mm-hmm. If you just sit it on top, arrest it, it's not going to cut it open, right?
Right.
But the going back and forth, it's not, the gravity doesn't increase by going back and forth, so it must be there's the friction, I guess.
Friction or small tears?
Something like that. Small tears or friction. Yeah, but whatever. So so if I don't do any back and forth, then definitely it's possible. Then definitely it's possible. Okay? If I take it and I go back and forth, then arguably it's kosher. Okay? The case is, let's say I just go back forth. Or just go back. I rest it on the thing and I just go in one motion. And it cuts and it does a shchita. Okay? So then basically the halacha is it depends. Okay? It depends how long the knife is. If the knife is double as long as the neck is wide, so let's say the neck is like 5 inches wide, so the neck is 10 inches, so it has like 5 inches worth of traveling. You know, you put it on top of the thing and it's going to be able to go. You know, so you rest it right on top of it and you slide it. So it has the full neck's worth of traveling. Then we say, then it's kosher.
a back and forth is specified?
Let's say it's one. No, if it's back and forth, then it's kosher.
But I'm saying this, we're going to say this 10-inch knife, one fold of that is equal to a back and forth.
That's no, not necessarily. No, I don't know. Not necessarily. You're just saying it's like this. If it's, give me 1 second. If it's short, if the knife is as long as the neck, or not less than 2 times the neck, then we say then it's possible. And Rashi says, because it's impossible that to cut the simanim in one go over like that without drasa. So it's like, it's almost like it's an umdina, like an assumption that you did drasa. Right? Rashi says, the way Rashi says it, he says, here he says, if there's a big enough, right? He says, yesh kan holacha ohava'a, because it's long enough for it to cut with purely with pulling without any pushing. But if it's not long enough, because the simanim are not cut with this pulling alone without any drasa. So it's an assumption of drasa. So it's a psal. Right? So it's a psal. So it all goes by the length of the knife. So we said it's interesting is that it does. You don't just say, ask the guy, did you push down or not? I think the Meiri says, even if the guy tells you, I'm telling you I didn't push down, it still doesn't. We assume he did. So the question is it, so, right. So apparently you don't just say, ask the guy. You see that there's an assumption of drasa. So Mark and I were arguing about, let's say it's very long, it's a long knife, but the guy tells you, I did do drasa. Whereas here, it doesn't matter if the guy says he didn't, because Rashi says, we know he did drasa. Therefore, it's possible.
Because it's impossible. Basically.
It's impossible. Rashi's saying, right, it's impossible. But now, let's say the other way. Let's say it's a very long knife, and you go back and forth or whatever, you go back and forth a million times or whatever. So that, but the guy says, I'm telling you, I get back and forth, but I also push it down. So is it kosher? So you say it should definitely be possible. That's what you're saying. What? So Mark wants to say is that you see from here. See, I guess the question is here: how do you understand this halacha of then he goes back and forth? And let's say he tells you he goes only one way, and he tells you, "I'm telling you, I didn't do drasa," right? But we say it's possible. Is it pshat because we don't believe him? We say, look, it's impossible. So we don't believe you. Or is it pshat? It's not that we don't believe him, but like Mark's arguing is like drasa becomes halachified, objectified. You don't go by subjectively whether he put force or not, because you can't recognize it halachically. So rather, you have to systematize what is the indications of drasa. So going like this in one motion is indicative of drasa, and not necessarily we think he definitely did it. We don't measure drasa by whether he actually did it, because you can't halachically go by that. So you have to basically set up a tsura, which is indicative of drasa, or a tsura, which is indicative of non-drasa. So back and forth and back and forth and back and forth is indicative of not drasa. Now, whether he actually did it or not is irrelevant. Right? And similarly, if you go in one motion and it's long enough, then that's indicative of... I'm sorry, if you go in one motion and it's not long enough, that's indicative of drasa. And whether he did or didn't is not relevant. It all totally becomes systematized. What I was arguing is, no. Definitely, there's a reality of drasa. And if he says he did drasa, then for sure he did drasa. But then even if he says he didn't, there are certain things which are objectively, it's an umdana, it's an assumption that he did. And we don't necessarily trust him. Sometimes it's subtle and you can't tell. And if we know that this is not possible without drasa, then halachically, it's like an assumption of drasa. So we don't know. It's an open question. We have to go through this again, see how to resolve whether Mark's saying is right or not. It's two ways of looking at it. The Ramban is based upon the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hitiz es harosh bebas achas psula." So if you chop off the head in one shot, it's possible. Okay, in one shot, right? Like it says, basically, like Rashi says, it means like you're just chopping down, and then it says. Then if you're shochet refers to the slicing motion. Hitiz is like chopping. So it says if you chop it off one shot, that's possible. But if you're shochet and you knock off the head in one shot, so then it depends how long the knife is, right? So he's saying, he's noticing, like it says like this, v'hitiz es harosh v'bas achas. right? If you're slicing and you chop off the head in one shot. So he says, Timhani, lamali hitas es harosh, afilu hitas simanu belachot nami psula. Who's talking about chopping off the head? Just say if you're slicing and you cut the simanim in one shot. Why does the Mishnah say chopping off the head? It's nothing to do with chopping off the head. Shechita does not do with chopping off the head. Shechita does not beheading the animal. It's cutting the pipes. So when the Mishnah says, it should just say, if you do in one motion, you chop the simanim. Why does it say? The Ramban says, why does the Mishnah say if you chop off the head? So vikrovani lomar, and I'm close to saying, okay, I want to say, sh'im ha'yashochet v'chatach simanim ba'olacha, if you're shochet and you cut the simanim just in one motion, even though the knife is really just the length of the neck, it's not any longer kshera. Because it's very the simanim are very easy to cut them even in a very small motion. Because they're very soft up against a sharp knife, right? You don't need a very big motion, right? Like if you imagine like a box cutter, right? Those are like super duper sharp. How much do you think you really need to go to cut like a vein or a pipe? I mean, it's not, you don't need a very long motion. I mean, this thing is super sharp. The simanim are pretty close to the skin, right? It wouldn't take that big of a knife to do good damage on a person's neck to cut the simanim. It's a soft simanim and you push it. How long? It has to be double as long. The whole thing is, they get a massive push. It's a sharp knife. A little bit of gravity. It's sitting on the thing. It's very easy. So he's saying it doesn't make sense. Why do you need it to be so long? It doesn't. Amru ela b'molech v'hitis harosh legamri. The only Mishnah is talking about is if you mamish behead the thing. She'yevshev lahataza below jasa. Because that's impossible. You can't behead the animal without pushing down. That's already too. You have the neck bone and you have the whatever. It's not just the simanim. I mean, you got to mamish cut the head off. You can't cut a head off very easily without a lot of that force. Friction alone or slicing alone isn't going to get the head off. Okay? So then what about if it's a long knife? Even with a long knife, it's hard to believe you're going to be able to chop off the whole head. Right? You can chop off the whole head just with a motion like this with a double the size knife. I mean, if your mamish talking about chopping off the head, it seems like a little far fetched. Are you really going to be able to do that? So he says, "V'mi yesh sakin malot savar chutzal savar kshera de behavoras malot savar shechutzala chatach simen." Because the first motion, basically, you're gonna cut the simen. U'malohat savar achar dachak lamata v'hitas arosh. So it's saying is then you could assume that the first you cut the simanim and then you push down. But if it's long enough, so you'll say that that's what happened. So it's a little funny, but he's saying is that if it's really long and the head is chopped off, so it's true you did drasa, but I'll say you did drasa after you cut the simanim. So basically you cut the pipes with a little push, and then you push down. So I guess it has to be long enough to be able to accomplish both of those actions. But if it's a short knife, then we're not going to say that you did both. You're going to say basically you chopped off the head, I'll tell you what you did. You did drasa, you didn't do shechita. So that's what the Ramban wants to say. He says it's hard for him to interpret to say that mom is just cutting the simanim is if you slice the simanim with a short knife, we assume that you push down. It's hard to believe. Right? Rashi seems to say that though. Rashi says, she'en ha-simanim nechtachem b'meshicha zu levada b'lo jasa. The simanim aren't cut with just a little bit of a push without pushing down. Right? Without pressure. That's the problem. The problem is, it sounds like, well, so what's the machlokas? Sounds very factual. And I think they should bring down the Ramba, the Rashba, also that learns the other way. One second. Yeah, it says, hit this harosh b'vas achas. If you chop off the head in one shot, pirish shnei simanim. It doesn't mean that you chop off the whole head. It means you chop the simanim, the two simanim b'basachas. V'dugmaso menayin l'rabos es harosh shekvar hutas dahinu shehutas v'simanim b'shashchita. He's just showing somewhere else that it says harosh, but it doesn't mean rosh. It just means the simanim. U'kiloshon hazeh kasav haRambam zal The Rambam also says that way. It's not clear that the Rambam holds that way. I think there's different questions about who he holds. Fine. He says, "V'ro'isi hatzrachti lichtov zem imnei v'ro'isi l'miktsas k'migdolehem afarsh m'shlo p'yashu kain." The reason why I had to write this is because I saw some of the Gedolim Mefarshim didn't explain it that way. Okay. Yeah, it's funny. They quote here on the footnote, the Bedek Abayas, who's the Ra, I think. But I don't know why it doesn't quote the Ramban. Ramban himself argues.
The Ra was his contemporary.
What?
The Ra was his contemporary.
The Rashbas, yeah. They argue. They still argue. They were back and forth, you know. But the Ramban was his Rebbe.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I don't say it's funny how he says it that way. Summarize the facts. Mishnah's saying that if you have a short knife, short means less than double the length of the neck. So I'm going to call that short from now on. You have a short knife, and you go one motion. One motion means back or forth. No back, forth. One motion. Short knife, one motion, possible. Why? Because there's an assumption of drasa. There's an assumption of pushing down. The Ramban says, that's crazy. Why? Just because I push the knife a little, it's the smanama right on the surface. Why do I need a long knife in order to cut the smanama? I do one motion, it's a really sharp knife, I go a little push, and it cuts the smanama. What's the problem? So the Ramban says the case is where you chop off the whole head. When you chop off the whole head in one motion, that's when there's a psal. Because then we say it must be you push down. But if you just go a little bit of a push, so if you're just cutting the smanama, then there's no problem. But the Rashba says no. Rashba and Rashi seem to learn the other way. That it means you just chop the simanim. Very, very big machlokas, and it sounds, as Shmu says, it sounds like a Mazias question. It sounds like the Ramban is saying, is that if you take a knife, a short knife, and you only cut the simanim, you could cut them very easily without drasa. And it's only if you chop off the entire head that you assume drasa. Whereas Rashi is saying no. If you cut the simanim, there's no way to cut the simanim without doing drasa. Right? So that's kind of a pretty big machlokas. I mean, what are the facts here? He says it's not cut in Mashicha Zulavada below drasa. So he's saying is I understand that you're doing the Mashicha and there's a slicing motion, but the slicing is not enough to cut it without also doing a downward force. So there's going to be a mixture. So once there's going to be a mixture, there's downward force also. So he's saying, so that's a drasa. So it's both. It's slicing and if it's long enough, you could say that it's done totally by the slicing motion. The Mashicha itself cuts. It's not based upon the pressing. So there's no pressing. There's no indication of pressing. Look at the facts. Rashi says, the short knife, the simanim are not cut only with Mashicha without drasa. Only with the slicing, without cutting it, without pushing it. Must be. I push down. How else would I cut this simanim? And the Ramban says, what's the problem? It's a very sharp knife. The simanim are soft. Who needs? And it could go with a small little cut. I don't understand. And therefore, he goes so far as to say that he's talking about a case where I severed the entire head. And if I sever the entire head, then I say it must be I pushed. So I'm just saying, is this sounds like a pretty big factual machlokas here. So Shmuel wants to say is that maybe they're arguing about what drasa is. Does drasa mean like an action of pushing downwards? Or before we get to that, what's drasa? So like, it seems like there's two kinds of pushing. There's pushing down, and then there's a motion of slicing, which has a corresponding, I don't know if sure corresponding is the right word, but there's like a pushing, which is like almost like a component of slicing in general, is that you follow the knife. So you're holding on to the knife, and as you're pushing it across, it's going to sink, it's going to cut, it's going to slice the simen, and you go with the knife. So you're not pushing down, you're just kind of following the course of the knife. So there is a certain amount of force, but you wouldn't say that the gavra's involved in pushing down. He's not pushing down, he's slicing. The character of what he's doing is slicing. But yeah, is there a force? If you took out your physics equations or whatever, and you measured his muscles and whatever, you'd see that he has a downward force. But it's slight. The character of what he's doing is he's slicing. He's not chopping. He's not pushing down. He's slicing.
Right. We see there's an
addition. The Ramban says like this. So Rashi learns, jasa means any downward force. Any downward force whatsoever. Okay, imamish shrita has to be where there's no downward force. It's totally the slice and gravity, I guess. But you can't impart any downward force. Okay, so if that's the case, so then it makes sense. Is that if you the only way? So how could you possibly cut the knife if you have a long knife or a lot of back and forths? So the knife is sharp, and simply you guide it, and gravity and the sharpness of the knife will do it. But he says it's impossible if it's a short knife to cut, even though the samanim are soft, but with no downward force, just with a knife, he's saying it's impossible to cut the samanim. And if the samanim are cut with a short knife, it indicates that you push down, that you apply the downward force. But the Ramban argues, no, that's not drasa. The slight downward force, which comes with slicing, that's not a maisa of drasa. That's a maisa of shlita, of slicing, which just it's like bottle to the slicing. It's like bottle to the slicing. That's like, it's not a physics force. It's like a human action of doing drasa. So the gavra, you wouldn't say the gavra, would you say, you wouldn't say, oh yeah, I was pushing down. No, I was cutting. I was like, yeah, of course. If you pull out the equations, you'll show, obviously I was pushing down, because how else did I cut, whatever. But that's not pushing down, that's slicing. So according to the Ramban, drasa means the gavra's involved in pushing down, as opposed to the gavra's involved in slicing. So he says, if you take a knife and you slice it on the thing, there's no reason to think that you have to push down. You don't have to be involved in actively pushing down. Yeah, is there some slight downward force? Yes, but that's bottled to the slicing. The character of what I'm doing is totally slicing. And the drasa is, the downward force is negligible. But if I'm cutting off the whole head, cutting off a whole head doesn't happen through the action of slicing. That comes through force, through pushing down. Now, yes, I might be then, it could be I'm pushing a little bit, which is a little bit of pushing, but then the character of what I'm doing is drasa. Drasa is a downward motion. So the Ramban says, if I chop off the head, that indicates a downward force, pressure. It's like a maisa of pressing down on the knife. It's not just the pressing, the natural pressing that comes along with the slicing. So that's the machlokas, is this natural pressure which comes together with slicing. That's just the normal derech of slicing involves slight pressure. Is that defined as drasa? Or does drasa mean maisa of pressing? Right? So then that will result in different facts. So the machlokas and metzias is it's too big. That's what I think is true. It's like it's too big of machlokas and metzias to argue that they actually have different opinions about this thing. I mean, that's the thing. It's not, it's just they're so far apart. So therefore, it seemed to be a good way to say is they must have different questions about whether that they could. Yeah, you do the experiment, but Ramban will say, see, look, he didn't do drasa. Rashi will be, what do you mean? Sure, he did. You know, so the very same thing. They're going to argue about whether that is drasa or not. Okay, that's good. That's one way to go. The problem. The problem with this svara is like this. This should just be a straight machlokas. Let's say I do drasa, you know, and I don't like that question. I don't push down, but I do that. Like, what is drasa? It's like the way we're deducing a machlokas about what drasa means is from this like funny case, you know, about when we assume. So it's like I looked around when I had this thought, is to see if, you know, Rashi indicates that, or the Ramban's Lashon indicates anything about that they have these different ideas of drasa. But I didn't see anything. If anything, I saw the opposite. Because Rashi says, like this, I'll show you what he says. Hittis is Rosh Vasachas. This is what you call them. Hamatis Kana Odalas. Like a person who's chopping a reed or a leek. Dochek hasakin bekoach. Uposek, he pushes down the knife with strength and he cuts it. the draw saw, and that's a draw saw. Right? I mean, that's like the model of draw saw. But then there's the other draw saw. It sounds like maybe saying there's two things. That's like really like a mice of draw saw. But then maybe you'll say Rashi's saying is, but then in the other case, you can't do with Mashicha without drasa. And maybe that's what Rashi learns. There's like two kinds of drasa. There's like a maisa of drasa, which is mamish, just the chop. And then there's a maisa of shkita, which has a component of drasa. Right, that's what you're saying, I guess. Right, that's, I guess, you say that Rashi originally saying he drasa. Drasa, though, it's pure drasa, and then there's drasa, which is a component of a mashikh, of a shrita. But either way, they're both possible. Right? Or maybe the Ramban, it holds, no. The drasa means drasa. Drasa is a component of mashikh, that's not drasa. Drasa means where you're doing a maisa of pushing down. Yeah, you could say it. It's just, it's a little bit of a chiddush. Yeah, the other way to go, I mean, this is what I want to think about next week. But the other way to go is to really deal with this kind of mitzias problem. Because like the only reason we're positing this, they're arguing about what drasa is because the mitzias problem. So the other way to go is to say, listen, I don't know about the mitzias. I don't know. Whatever. The mitzias, they're arguing. He's holding. They forget the mitzias. Let's just get the sugya. Like how halachically, how do you define the halachas in the Mishnah according to Rashi and according to the Ramban? You know what I mean? It's like, how, let's just define the Mishnah and what it's saying and whatever. According to Ramban, that this whole thing only exists if you chop the head. And define the halachic structure of what the Mishnah is saying according to Ramban. And define the halachic structure of saying according to Rashi. You know, and ignore the fact that there's, that it seems to be at its core a Metzias difference. Forget that. Let's just whatever. Take each one of his Metzias, then let's define the structure of these halachas of the Mishnah. And once we do that, maybe a nice halachic definition will emerge, and then what are the mitzias? I don't know. The argument is based upon how to interpret the Mishnah, and the mitzias are, I don't know, whatever. I don't know. I kind of ignore that problem. You know, like we're just saying is, the way we're learning today is saying the mitzias problem is like, it's too hard. So it must be that they're arguing different joy of drasa. But I'm saying this like, we're giving a lot of stock to that question. That, you know, how could they argue the mitzvahs? I'm saying, there's another way to go, is forget that problem. Let's just define the halachas according to both of them, and let's see what emerges, and then maybe the mitzvahs question won't bother us so much anymore, and, you know, maybe it's not so easy to determine the mitzvahs, or whatever, but like, bottom line, whether this is the case or not, it would seem anyways we have to define the Ramban and Rashi, how they learn the Mishnah, what's the definition of the halachic system here according to Rashi, according to Ramban. So whether at its core is based upon this, anyways, let's define the halachas according to both of them. And then maybe at the end, maybe we'll have this in the background, or maybe we'll realize we don't even need this anymore. You know? So let's try to do that. Let's try to define the halachas. Like, what's the system according to each other?